Do you want the stool?
Where? We're reading from 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So I went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told that I would judge his family as a sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything from me. He told you. Hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. There he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
We are now on the second week of a series in 1 Samuel that I've entitled My Sacrifice. And as you recall, last week we looked at the story of Hannah and how Hannah was unfortunately very burdened with barrenness. And this was something, of course, that troubled her greatly, because without an heir, She was without, you know, a pension plan. She was without someone to care for her. She's older. She was out without someone to take over for them and their family business, amongst all these other things, including shame and things of that sort. And finally, at some point, there was a turn, as I mentioned, a turn in which Hannah stood up, resolved to commit, to continue to pray for this child, but to commit this child to the Lord. And as such, she knew she would still have to give up so much in order to dedicate this child to the temple of the Lord. But she did it anyways, placing the Lord first in her life, even above a child. And the Lord answered her prayer and gave her Samuel. Well, this week we look at, well, we begin by looking at Samuel, and we get to explore his life, a little bit of his calling. And it was really a calling that was beyond Samuel's expectation. He was called into this role to be Israel's prophet, to be one of their judges, their final judge, really. And if nothing else, a leader amongst the nation of Israel. And as I started to think about Samuel's life and this chapter in particular this week, something kind of struck me a little bit, having to do with some of the frequently asked questions that I and some of my friends tend to get as pastors. And so I kind of threw out a pastor frequently asked question here this morning to look at those questions. And a couple of those questions center on kind of one thing. This is one of the most frequently asked questions, I should say, that we get. Something like, how do I find God's will for my life? Right? People often ask that question. Maybe you have at some point in your life. Or maybe it sounds a little like, what is God calling me to do? Right? God has placed a calling on my life. What does that look like? And people often wonder this sort of thing. In these two questions, these frequently asked questions that pastors tend to get, we hear kind of this echo of a big question I think people wrestle with. And that's this. How do I hear God speaking to me? How do I hear God leading me? Right? And this is important, especially when we look at our passage here this morning. Because a major aspect of our passage here this morning has to do with listening, right? Hearing what God is saying to Samuel in particular. This is important in the greater context of what we see in this passage as well, in chapter 2, leading into chapter 3 as well. Eli has been the priest of the temple for some time now. We don't know exactly how long, but he's been the priest of the temple for some time now. And he's been doing that with his sons. We see this in chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2. But there's something wrong. Eli's sons are wicked in the eyes of the Lord. They are taking the first fruits of the offerings for themselves, rather than allowing that to be burnt up for the Lord as per their calling. In fact, there are times when the people don't give them that first fruits, they threaten to take it by force. Eli recognizes this at one point, and we see him confront his sons, but then he does nothing else. He's complacent in many ways in the sin of his sons as well. And so we see that Eli is ignoring what the Lord has said to him, what the Lord has called him to do as well. And as such, God lays out a judgment against Eli and his house, his family, saying that their priesthood will no longer continue, and instead God will raise up a priest to lead the people of Israel. And this is where we pick up in chapter 3. The picture of Samuel comes into view very, very clearly now. And as we consider Samuel, and we look at what God is calling him to do, the one thing we easily discern as we read chapter 3 is that it is not easy to hear God's voice. It is not. Here you have Samuel, who is working in the temple, dealing with the things of the Lord, day in and day out, and yet the Lord has to call to him four times before he finally gets it. He finally gets what's going on. And even then, he needs someone to help him interpret and understand what is going on. The reality is, though, is not only is it hard for Samuel to hear the Lord speaking to him, it's incredibly hard for us as well. We put all kinds of barriers in our lives as well to hearing God speak in our lives. And some of those barriers are very simple. They're simple things like what Samuel dealt with, just simply inexperience. Maybe we just became a Christian. We just started following Christ, or maybe we haven't really dug deep enough into the things of the faith. And that inexperience allows us to not understand what God would call us to do as His people. This is what Samuel faced, as I mentioned. He was just inexperienced. Even though he was dealing with the things of the Lord, he was, in some sense, dealing with them underneath the leadership of an inept teacher. And so he wasn't growing in the way that the Lord wanted him to. And that inexperience led to him not initially understanding or hearing the Lord call him. Another thing that kind of creates barriers in our lives to hearing God speak to us is just simply expectations. Do we have an expectation that God will speak in our lives? Right? That God leads us? Or do we feel like He's just hands off and just letting us do our own thing? The Bible paints a picture of a God who is deeply involved in our lives. The Bible paints a picture of a God we should expect to speak to us today. He has given us His Word. He's revealed Himself fully in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And He still speaks through His Word and through the Holy Spirit even today. Now, I'm not talking about like audible voices or anything of that sort, per se. What I'm talking about is being able to discern the things of this world and where God is moving and working in our lives on a daily basis. We should, as God's people, expect that He is speaking, that He is moving in our lives. Another barrier just happens to be sin. Sin. There are sins in our lives that are habitual and constant. And as we keep sinning those sins in our lives so often, they create a barrier in our lives so that we cannot hear Him speaking to us. Sin creates distance between us and God. God cannot be in the presence of sin, so we should expect that as we constantly and habitually sin in our lives, it's going to create distance between us and God. Eli is an example of this in many ways. Eli was a man before the Lord. He had every opportunity to hear God's voice constantly. And yet, the habitual sin that he found himself in, right, being party to the wickedness of his family, his sons, caused him to be distant from the Lord. It was a barrier to his opportunity to hear the Lord speak. And finally, simple unwillingness. An unwillingness to hear God's voice is very often a barrier in our lives to hearing Him speak. We say outwardly that we want to hear God's will. We want to know His will for our lives, but really deep down we don't. We really don't. Right? Because we know that if God is a God of grace, a God who gives freely, then He can also ask us anything. And we could do anything. And we would rather just do our own thing, live our own lives, and just be ourselves rather than live into the person that God calls us to be. We're blessed, luckily, as we consider the story of Samuel, to see that he was willing, that is, after he gained a bit of an understanding, to listen to God's call on his life. He was able to seek his voice and listen to it. And as he listens, we begin to sort of discern, or he begins to discern rather, of what God's calling and his purpose for him is going to be. And Samuel is going to be called to do more than just be a priest at the temple, right? Serving the Lord day in and day out, offering the sacrifices and such. And Samuel is going to be called to be a prophet and a leader of Israel, a leader of God's people. Now, as we consider this call that's placed on Samuel's life, we have to imagine that this is nothing that he would have even asked for or even desired when he came to live at the temple. He would have never expected this. And this is not unlike us either. God's purposes for us is very much more than what we might expect or even desire. At the very core of what we are called to do for the Lord, it is fundamentally, we are called to bring glory to God. At the very core, that is what we are called to do. And this is so difficult though, right? It's so difficult because it's completely contrary to our nature. And that makes it so hard. Let's be honest, we're shameless self-promoters. We are quick to look to our own interests rather than to the interest of others, let alone use our lives to bring glory to God. And if we're frank, bringing glory to God, that feels, it seems, incredibly vague. Right? It feels vague, if we're honest. But I want to assure you this morning that it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. The Apostle Paul points to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when he says, "So whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God." Now I grant you, I put this verse up there, that feels kind of vague on the surface as well. But again, it doesn't have to be that way. When we are living our lives and trying our best to bring the glory to God, it just simply means that we are to in all our lives, to show God's weightiness, to show His worth, to show His value, to show His majesty and His beauty in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Now, I grant you that this is a highly individualistic calling. It is. Because it varies so much based on our circumstances and our own lives, how this might look. But as we consider what it looks like to bring honor, to bring glory to God in our lives, no matter who we are, no matter what our circumstances are, we can always wrestle with certain questions that cause us to see how we are bringing glory to God in our lives. We can wrestle with questions like, how do I show God's worth, His value, and what I'm doing, my job, my relationships? We can ask these questions. We might just simply ask, how do I show His majesty? That is, that He is Lord over my life and my relationships and my job. And you don't have to be the person standing up on the stage to bring glory to God in all that you do. We are all called to bring glory to God in our lives, in everything we do. And these are the sorts of things that as we do them, they draw people in because they see something different about our lives. If you're still questioning what this looks like and what this means for your purpose, then I want to encourage you that you need only seek God's voice, because He still speaks today. God still speaks through His Word, through the Bible. And in the Bible, you see the clearest revelation of who He is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Not only can we look to Jesus as an example for us in our lives, we can look to Him and recognize He is much, much more than that. He's the one who sets us free by taking our sins, our shame to the cross, dying in our place in order to restore us to right relationship with God. It's in Him we move and have our being, as the Apostle Paul says. And to quote St. Augustine, he says this, speaking of our purpose, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. You will only know fulfillment. You will only know true purpose if you find it in God through Christ. Let me make one final point as we close here. As we consider the call of Samuel, the news that he gets when he begins to discern this calling on his life, the news that he gets is not difficult, or rather it is difficult news that he is called to convey. He receives this judgment from God, this prophecy from God, that he now has to convey to his spiritual father in the faith. He has to tell his spiritual father that he's done, that God is going to carry out judgment on him. My point is this, that as we consider God's purpose, God's calling in our lives, and as you begin to find that for you, it doesn't mean that everything is going to come easy. I want to assure you of that. In fact, it may get more difficult. Think about this. In this highly sexualized culture that we live in, the message of God is quite contrary to what we see in our society. In a highly consumeristic culture, right? A culture that tells us to take and to use things, to consume anything around us. The message of God calls us to give of ourselves, to value others above ourselves. And as we just considered those two narratives, we already see that we are running against the grain of our culture. The reality is, as we find our purpose in Christ, we may have to put dreams and hopes to bed, things we had hoped to do, in lieu of what God is calling us to do. But I want to remind you this morning, that He is worth it. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 32, he says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" How will He not graciously give us all things? The answer to this rhetorical question is He will. He will graciously give us all things in Christ. So friends, I remind you this morning that you have a purpose. You have a calling. You are not just some cosmic accident. Now, your calling may be greater than you could even ask for or imagine. Or it might be simple. It might be normal. But whatever it may be, it begins by offering or responding to the free grace given in the person and work of Christ, trusting Him and simply saying, "Here I am, Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are a God of purpose, of meaning. And as such, You give us purpose and meaning. That means that there is purpose and meaning when we do menial jobs like mop the floor, change diapers, or build buildings, houses, care for the sick. All of these have meaning and purpose in your economy. Thank you for the grace and the ability to participate in your kingdom, Lord. I pray that we would be good ambassadors of your gospel in all that we do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you stand as you're able and join me in singing, "Here I Am, Lord."